are listening to Renewscast, the official podcast of Renew Wellness, an all-encompassing platform for exploring the world of nutrition. I'm your host, Matthew McCord, an aspiring holistic nutritionist and wellness coach based in Vancouver Island, Canada. I'm a blogger, food lover, consciousness explorer, lactobacillus wrangler, and health and wellness enthusiast. Keep up to date with my latest musings on wellness and health as I keep my ear to the ground in the nutrition community. Hello everybody and welcome back to Renewscast. Today we've got a fantastic episode all about bone broth. Now bone broth is one of my favourite things to discuss at the moment. There's a lot to it and you know it's super easy to make and it's a super easy way to just sort of supplement your diet. Now today's episode we're going to be sort of covering a lot of the myths on bone broth. We're going to be looking at its nutritional benefits, whether it's right for you. And we're going to go obviously through how to make it and what it consists of and a little bit of the history of it, of course, as well. So without further ado, here we are. Now, as you can imagine, for our early ancestors, for the hunter-gatherers, throwing away parts of the animal they hunted was out of the question. I mean, picture the scene, a load of hunter-gatherers hovering over a fire, feeling a bit squeamish and throwing away the nasty bits of the animal that they'd obviously spent days hunting and risked their life for. You know, saving the best bits to knock up a little cheeky beef wellington or, you know, one of the blokes scraping away the highly nutritious organ meat into a trash while the other one lines up their Chateaubriand for a quick Instagram picture. I mean, obviously not, you know, we're talking about our early ancestors and evidently every little piece of that animal was highly, highly important to consume. So could modern cooking methods and attitudes dictate a more wasteful approach to eating? Do we disregard the less glamorous but obviously often highly nutritious animal parts? Cooking methods clearly got more refined, more advanced, from throwing carcasses on fire to, you know, using hot rocks to saucepans and pressure cookers, and food scarcity dropped and our relationship to eating has drastically changed over the years. It's always up for debate, you know, the debate is always there whether it's important to be eating more like our ancestors, as if we were designed fit to purpose for a very specific sort of time and scenario, and that we've over the years rapidly evolved to now live in the antithesis of what our bodies are actually designed for. I mean, paleo fans would actively back this up. You know, our ancestors weren't prancing about eating Big Macs or necking off like 4 bags of crisps and, you know, washing the bastard down with a big old 2-litre bottle of poison water, you know. Our diet today, necessarily not what our bodies were designed for, but that is always open for discussion. So to sort of draw some parallels from an earlier time, something that's very, very commonly in my kitchen is bone broth. Sort of a tip of the hat to the ancestral artisans that yields a very delicious, versatile and extraordinarily nutritious product. It does offer a plethora of health benefits, and honestly, like, based on its nutritional, it's very impressive nutritional profile. I would drink this often, even if it tasted like shite, which it does not. It's absolutely delicious. Although the, you know, vegans might find it a little uncomfortable. The corpse juice, you know, as it can be referred to as. But by introducing bone broth into your diet, you could see some observable benefits to your muscle mass, joint health, gut health, mood, sleep, energy levels, all sorts of things. But what actually is bone broth? I mean, it's relatively self-explanatory. The name itself, it's, you know, it's broth made from bones. Shock, horror, you know. Who invented that name? That is extraordinarily complex. Bone broth, really, all you're doing is very, very simple. It involves very little sugar coating. You whack a few bones in some water, cover them, and slow cook. The jury's still out, but you know, they do say that if you add a little bit of vinegar, it can potentially help extract some of the minerals, some of the nutrients from the bones as it's in the broth. But yeah, the idea is just to slow cook them. I do this personally for a minimum of about 24 hours just to extract the the nutrients, proteins, minerals that are locked into the bones, leaving behind a nutritious stock. Simple. You can use any bones for this. I mean, you know, I often use chicken carcasses or chicken feet. If I buy even a rotisserie chicken from the grocery store, I'll just throw the carcass in with water. You know, this is something that people would just normally throw away, and it makes sense to just, you know, use everything that we have, and you can store it very well. It stores in the fridge, freezer, whatever you need. So you can also, you know, you can go to the butchers and you can buy beef marrow bones or chicken bones or fish bones or whatever you want. Very, very cheap. Let's not let the dogs have more fun, you know. Dogs prancing about with their beautiful fur coats and stuff while we're eating Big Macs. You know, we've got to rethink things. I hope I'm allowed to slag off Big Macs on this podcast. Who knows, maybe McDonald's will sue me. Maybe that's when I know that I've made it big, when I'm getting sued by McDonald's for slagging off Big Macs. Anyway, you can throw in veg as well. In fact, often I'll throw in carrots, onions. In fact, I'll usually always throw in a bulb of garlic. I'm very, very convinced on the benefits of consuming garlic. But it does give immense flavour to the broth as well. Throw in whatever aromatics that you'd like, you know, anything that works. Sometimes a little bit of thyme, sometimes a little bit of bay leaf. You know, just go wild with it. Salt, pepper, obviously. Yeah, and leave it for 24 hours and you strain it and you have bone broth there. Now let's discuss how good it is. So first off, you know, it's worth mentioning that bone broth is an excellent source of calcium, magnesium, potassium, phosphorus, and vitamin A. I mean, that's a nutritional profile that is not to be sniffed at, for starters, before we even go into some of the benefits that are very unique to bone broth. Bone broth, it is an excellent source of collagen. You've likely already heard about collagen. It's the most abundant protein in the human body. It's the building blocks of almost everything that makes us human. The building blocks of bone, teeth, skin, ligaments, and, well, likely Nicki Minaj's arse cheeks, but citations needed. Collagen has been praised for keeping people looking and feeling youthful for a number of reasons. And, you know, there are quite a few studies that sing its praises in terms of, like, its benefits for improving skin elasticity, reducing wrinkles, and effectively it's dubbed the fountain of youth for this purpose. Now, levels of collagen in our bodies decrease as we age, making us more prone to disorders such as osteoarthritis. And, you know, some studies have suggested that by supplementing collagen, we can mitigate the onset of these disorders. As an active individual myself, I wasn't necessarily concerned with my skin looking flawless. I was more interested in the potential mechanism that collagen might play in joint recovery for sports. I mean, right now I'm chatting here with my arm in a sling. I actually, a little bit about me, I recently fractured and dislocated my elbow doing jiu-jitsu, which is fantastic. It was an interesting few weeks. They had me drugged up on all sorts of stuff, man. But, you know, quick shout out, the healthcare in Canada is phenomenal, and I am very, very grateful for the doctors that sorted me out. So if you're listening, you know, if the doctors at Victoria General Hospital are looking for nutrition advice from me, just a quick shout out to you. You guys are legends, and you fixed me up nicely. But anyway, one of the first things I reached for was bone broth. I mean, you know, I was already convinced on the benefits of it, but, you know, I figured, to fix broken bones, you know, surely we want to consume bones, melt them down, you know, resorb them into my arm, just so that I'm not in the street wandering around like a nutcase chewing people's arms off like bloody Hannibal Lecter. You know, let's get some beef bones and cook them down, and that's the next best thing. So anyway, what sort of tangent am I going on? It would appear that collagen can be beneficial to athletes recovering from joint pain, with studies showing a marked reduction in joint pain and ability to re-engage in physical activity compared to placebo. Now, just to debunk a real quick myth, or maybe some just general confusion when it comes to digesting collagen. So, collagen itself, when it is digested, it's broken down into its constituents, But basically, it's broken down into the amino acids that make collagen. And when it's distributed throughout your body, those amino acids are going to be there in abundance, ready to be used for whatever they need. So it's broken down into building blocks, and then your body dictates where the building blocks then go. So it's not necessarily going to be broken down from collagen and rebuilt into more collagen. So just to provide a bit of a side note on the studies that I just provided, it's very possible that the benefits from supplementing collagen are based on the amino acid profile that that collagen consists of. Now, in general, bone broth contains a lot of the amino acid glutamine. Now, glutamine is extraordinarily helpful, scientifically proven to help the function of the intestinal wall. So if we look at the cells that line our gut lining, which is a one-cell thick membrane, which if stretched out fully would be the size of a tennis court, these cells absolutely love glutamine. Now, basically, one of the big benefits in this regard is to treat a disorder called leaky gut. Now, leaky gut doesn't sound super menacing, but it has been studied to be one of the main drivers in a lot of fatal and serious disease and chronic disease in humans. Now, without going into too much detail on leaky gut, because I definitely will cover this in future episodes, because this is a huge area of the study that I've been doing, in a nutshell, basically, it's a condition where the gut lining itself breaks down, and it is associated with numerous chronic diseases, including, very poignantly, mental health disorders. Your gut lining basically offers this protective layer between your bloodstream and the contents of your intestines, which, if damaged, often by poor diet, can allow for substances that don't normally leak into the bloodstream to pass through, leading for it to be then therefore flagged by our immune system, and the result ends up being chronic inflammation. And now this can be happening in a lot of cases in a lot of people without really realizing, and it can be manifesting some very serious disorders along the line without really understanding. And within holistic nutrition, this is a very focused on issue because it's very, very common. There's a number of reasons why this gut lining would break down, and it allows certain chemicals to slip through, initiating the inflammatory response. And again, we'll cover inflammation and chronic disease in another podcast, but we have to understand now that inflammation is absolutely one of the biggest drivers of chronic disease that we know of. And now if we look at something that initiates the inflammatory response, one molecule that I like to look at in particular is known as lipopolysaccharide, or LPS, also known as endotoxin. Now, LPS, lipopolysaccharide, it comprises the cell membrane of several gut bacteria and is notoriously responsible for initiating the inflammatory response. So much so that if we wanted to initiate inflammation in a study in order to actually test inflammation or the effect of inflammation on something or this, that, and the other, we would use LPS to initiate that response in order to measure its effects. So it's actually used as that agent within clinical studies to initiate the inflammatory response. So it goes without reason that we wouldn't want high levels of these endotoxin, of this LPS, in our bloodstream. So glutamine really helps to support the gut lining. However, glutamine can become neurotoxic in abundance if it changes to glutamate. And it is advised to, therefore, if you are drinking bone broth sporadically to restore your gut, you might want to sort of limit it to potentially 3 weeks or less. The jury's still a little bit out on that one, but it's, these are the interactions that can occur. So there is benefit, huge benefit to this, but ensuring that we're not allowing glutamine to build up to potential neurotoxic levels is important too. Now, just going back to our point on collagen as well, if we're looking to increase the synthesis of collagen in the body, so we have eaten the collagen, it's been broken down into its amino acid constituents, we have glycine, proline, arginine, etc. that make up collagen. One of the main drivers for the synthesis of collagen in our bodies, if that was what we were aiming to use these amino acids for when consumed is vitamin C, vitamin C for you Americans. And vitamin makes more sense than vitamin, seeing as vitamin stands for vital amine. Just saying. But anyway, vitamin C is important to, it can be one of the bottlenecks for creating collagen within the body. So we need to make sure that we can get plenty of vitamin C to make sure that we are producing that collagen. So it's all well and good, you know, taking in supplementary collagen, but without the vitamin C, we don't, it is a dependent part of that process. So, you know, it's not available in bone broth, but we should know where to get vitamin C from. I mean, you know, like leafy green veg, citrus fruit, bell peppers, things like that. Things like that, citrus fruit being the main one. If we don't want scurvy, then eat your oranges, you know. It's a good job it tastes good. I wouldn't just suck straight on a lemon or a lime, but, you know, grapefruit, one of my favourites. Anyway, now I'd like to focus in on glycine, which is actually my favourite constituent of bone broth, the one that I really think holds a lot of the magic to bone broth, one that's often overshadowed. But glycine is an amino acid that is very, very abundant in bone broth itself. And now it's a non-essential amino acid. So basically, and it helps to form collagen as well. It's one of the constituents of collagen. But it is a non-essential amino acid that mediates a number of processes in the body. And to reiterate, non-essential means that the amino acid can be produced by our body, even if it isn't received from our diet. Now, that doesn't mean that it doesn't mediate a plethora of important processes in the body. It doesn't mean that it's useless. But, you know, so let's not get confused there. On the contrary, glycine is used in the synthesis of hemoglobin, creatine, bile salts, glutathione, and nucleotides, DNA, and RNA. Glycine is involved in gluconeogenesis, the manufacture of glucose. It's involved in sleep, detoxification, digestion, wound healing, mood regulation. It plays a lot of important roles in the body. Now, in addition to the note of it being a non-essential amino acid, you know, the literature does suggest that actually glycine might be also considered to be a conditionally essential amino acid. In order to meet the many important metabolic demands of glycine, it is important that it's readily available in the body. Despite it being readily manufactured by the body, there are many cases in which normal, healthy individuals may not make enough glycine. Researchers have found that the body's own synthesis of glycine in adult men following a sort of low-protein diet can fail to satisfy the baseline metabolic demand. Glycine, as it would appear, is responsive to the amino acid composition of the diet, and therefore supplemental glycine may be beneficial. Now, a little bit about glycine in a bit more detail. So, glycine has been discovered to play a role in sleep by calming the brain and lowering core body temperature. For somebody who is looking to stack nutritional interventions to help them sleep as opposed to taking sleeping pills are going to knock them on their arse, then increasing glycine intake could be definitely beneficial. For those who've sank one too many bevvies over the past few weeks and coincidentally feels that they owe their liver a little bit of a break, glycine may help as well. It's no surprise that the liver is a phenomenal organ, and, you know, if I mean, I enjoy a drink, and absolutely, I have definitely given my liver a kick in over the years. Glycine, you know, can definitely help. I mean, if abstaining from alcohol can actually reverse, you know, moderate to mild alcohol-related liver damage, and we all know that the liver does regenerate, it's capable of regenerating. So give it a chance, you know, give it a chance to do so every now and again. Let's drink in moderation if possible. But studies in rats, and bear in mind the studies are in rats, the glycine has been shown to significantly boost the recovery of damaged liver cells. In addition to this, glycine mediates the production of glutathione. Glutathione is well known to help your liver metabolize alcohol. In fact, glutathione is one of the most powerful antioxidants, which compounds that prevent cellular damage from oxidative stress from free radicals, basically mitigates cellular aging, mortality, disease, etc. So glutathione prevents damage to your cells with anti-aging properties. You can't make glutathione without glycine, and glutathione actually works wonders for brain health by reducing age-related brain conditions due to its antioxidant properties that are very active within brain tissue. Think back to our studies on collagen and joint health. A similar solution to these problems can also be found in glycine. Not only is glycine a component of collagen itself, glycine also provides powerful anti-inflammatory effects via immunomodulation, which is, I mean, a way of influencing the immune system and how it responds to stimulus in the body. Keeping chronic inflammation down is incredibly important to staying healthy and avoiding a variety of chronic serious diseases. Another interesting constituent of bone broth is creatine. So those who are active will may have heard of creatine before. They might, in fact, take it supplemented and understand the importance of creatine in the body. It has been discovered that creatine production may be bottlenecked from getting too little dietary glycine as well. Creatine is praised for providing muscles with like that extra energy and extra explosivity, which is extraordinarily useful in sport. You know, one of the main things that I wanted to focus on in jiu-jitsu is being explosive when you need to be explosive. Same for a number of sports, but the explosivity in the gym can also be considered crucial to developing stronger, larger muscles. Now, I remember hearing a truckload of nonsense about creatine in school. Basically, you know, the kids in the playground comparing it to anabolic steroids. I've heard that your muscles would explode, you would pass blood with urine, you know, all sorts of shite. But apologies again for, you know, debunking the wise theoretical musings of me pal Darren in the schoolyard, but creatine isn't a steroid, it isn't some crazy artificial intervention for muscle growth. You're not going to end up like Arnie in 3 weeks by taking creatine. Creatine is in fact a naturally produced compound by the body. It's a combination of amino acids, arginine and glycine, with a little bit of love from methionine along the way, but we don't have to focus on that too much. The extra energy boost of energy to the muscles from creatine supplementation is super useful, and your body understands that and it knows how to create creatine in the body. So, looking back, it's very obvious that bone broth contains a number of different health benefits. By all means, you know, we're not trying to suggest that bone broth is a panacea, it doesn't cure all your problems, but it does definitely have a number of benefits based on just its nutritional profile that can benefit those who are very active and those who aren't. It's interesting to see that, like, a possibly sort of taboo food like bone broth has so many important nutritional benefits locked in that it's often overlooked. And I know it's gotten very popular nowadays, and you know, for good reason. Like, it does, it's very important. I'm not suggesting you drink it every single day, you know, maybe a couple of times a week. In fact, if you make a batch of it, you can have a cup a day if you're looking to potentially repair your gut lining, maybe after taking antibiotics or something like that, or if you're recovering from injury, then you might want to supplement it every day, or not. You can absolutely do that anyway. But, you know, you can freeze it, you can stick it in the fridge. In fact, you can make soups from it. You can use it as regular stock. I often make risotto, if you're American, with it. I think it's fantastic. If you get it tasting nice, if you mess about with, you know, different ways of cooking it, you can really dial it in, and it's delicious. But anyway, bone broth, it is a delicious addition to the diet, and it's very simple to make. It's versatile. It brings together a number of important benefits. And we might not be out in the fields hunting gazelle for days on end anymore, but it doesn't mean that we can't benefit from the savvy crockpot-lacking ancestors that we came from. And if you want to look and feel a little bit younger, improve our athletic ability and recovery, boost our metabolic efforts, maintain good gut health, improve sleep, mood, brain, all sorts of things, you know, for these reasons, I find myself knocking up a pot of the good stuff at least once a week, you know? And you should as well. Give it a whirl. Super easy. Bones, water on top. Leave it for 24 hours. Give it a try. Anyway, Thank you very much for listening, guys. This has been a lot of fun to make, actually. I initially wrote the blog, and it's available on www.renewwellnessblog.com. The blog itself is titled Bone Broth, the Elixir of Life, Numerous Science-Supported Reasons to Drink Bone Broth. And I like to dive into the nerdiness of it a little bit, you know, and look at the very bare bones, the very sort of deep science of it. And I don't like, oh yeah, it's good for your joints, it's good for this, that, and that. I like to know why. And if you do, fantastic, you know. So we're going to be producing a lot more of these episodes as time goes on. And I really appreciate you listening, man. It means a lot. So anyway, that is enough waffling on from me. And thanks for tuning in, guys, and have a fantastic day. Thank you.